You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the Podcast Network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, August 31st, 2011. This is episode 199, Scratch and Polish. Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Wells Tech Podcast. This is one of your hosts, Martin Spriggs, Wells Chief Technology Officer, and with you for 199 episodes, and along with me for all those episodes is Sally Draper from Sleepy Eye, Minnesota. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. Are we going to party like it's 199?
I don't think we'll make 1999, no. So we better party at 199.
There you go.
And we are celebrating our 200th next week, and we've got some contest going on, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But 199 times we've hooked up the microphones and chatted with each other.
Yep, seems like just yesterday when we got started, and here we are at 199. And we're also kind of marking a milestone in this episode because we're tying up our Wells Hacker summer series of podcasts. And that's been an interesting challenge for me this summer to be a consistent blogger, basically. Mm-hmm. We talked about it at the beginning of 2011 that blogging once a week was kind of a noble standard to achieve. And we've been working towards that, and we kind of locked ourselves into it this summer with this Wells Hacker series. Been real enlightening for me. I've learned a lot along the way, and kind of stared that challenge of regular blogging in the eye and managed to survive.
Yes, I would be right there with you with that, because I had even loftier goals of blogging maybe twice a week, and it didn't work out so well. This is our blogs have substance, so it takes us a while. That's my stance. And this Wells Hacker series has been good, and we're kind of at opposite ends of the spectrum. You're talking about scratching, and I'm talking about polishing some of these software products. So I forget whose turn it is. Is it me that's up?
Nope, I think it's me.
Well, then you go right ahead.
Ladies first today.
Yes,
I am talking about scratching. And in scratching, I mean the Scratch computer programming language, which is a language really designed to introduce children to computer programming mm-hmm. concepts. And we've used it here at St. John's and Sleepy Eye for several years. And I can tell you, it's at the top of the list of exciting things that my kids get to do in computer lab. They all enjoy working in Scratch. And my blog post shares some background on Scratch. So if you're not familiar, you probably want to head on over to sallydraper.com and follow some of the links that I provided there. You can go to the Scratch website and learn about it. You can download Scratch for free. It's from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. They developed this there at MIT. So you're actually on their website when you're looking at Scratch. And the other thing about Scratch is that it's shareable via the web. So you can see other Scratch projects there on the Scratch website. And all of those are downloadable. So you can download them and look at the coding that's a part of their project. You can even change the coding and customize it to your own desire. And so it's a really fun website and a great way to get started with Scratch. But if you are a Scratch teacher, we here at St. John's, we're looking at a way to kind of introduce our students to Scratch. And there are many resources out on the web, but we wanted to do our own thing. And so really the focus of my blog post is sharing a series of videos, actually recorded by one of my sons as he walks people through the Scratch process, how the screen, how you interact with the software, how the screen is laid out, and kind of all the ins and outs of some basic Scratch programming. And so I think it's a really great way. I've used it with the kids in the computer lab, and they put on their headphones and listen to the videos and then stop and practice the techniques that are demonstrated in the videos. And in just a few short lessons, they're really up to speed on doing some basics with Scratch. I even posted a link in my blog post to a cool hippopotamus program that one of the kids created using Scratch. And it has sound and motion, and it even has a counter in it where you can score points and it'll keep up with your points. And the kids really like that because they're all about video gaming and things, and so they could design their own point system. Some things are worth more points, etc. So a really fun way to introduce your students to Scratch. And even if you aren't a teacher and you'd like to learn some basic computer programming skills, it's very easy to get started with Scratch and learn about things like loops and variables and changing things about your objects and things like that. So nice. Great way to get started in the programming world.
So your son is now a screencaster.
He is. He does the whole Jing thing and really enjoys that. And he actually has progressed from those basic Scratch lessons to programming in Perl and Java. So Scratch was a great start for him, and he's really excited about all he's learning about Java now. So
with all that Scratch stuff you're doing there, we shouldn't be surprised if 10 years from now we see an influx of sleepy eye programmers on the market.
That's it. I'm telling you, the kids get really excited about
That's
it.
Neat.
They're ready to go, you know, and they kind of are just ready to try all kinds of things. So it goes all different directions once they have the basics down.
It's not just the second R writing, it's writing code.
There you go.
Very cool.
And starting with third graders, as soon as they're able to read the commands, they can do this kind of stuff. So
well,
it's really impressive to see those little guys.
Methodology for teaching logic and structured thinking. And,
absolutely.
You know, ties in nicely with math courses and those kinds of things. So very good. My blog post, my final blog post in this Wells Hacker series, I thought that I would kind of share with my readers a look at how I set up my work environment, not the whole computer, but a big part of it, which is the browser. And I talk about some of the things that I make sure whenever I sit down at my computer, I have at my disposal when I open up one browser in particular, and that's Chrome. And that's one of the browsers that I kind of lean toward. I use all of them for different reasons. Here in the Synod office, we are pretty Microsoft-centric, so it helps to have Internet Explorer as a primary browser. But whenever I can, and especially at home and other things, I always use Chrome for a number of reasons. One, I think it's faster. But one of the primary reasons is it's fairly configurable, and I can set it up just the way I want it to work for me. So I give five kind of setup tips that I use when I'm working within Chrome on my blog post this week. One of them is to use that apps window that is fairly new to Chrome, where you can install, quote-unquote, applications within the browser. This was kind of in preparation for their Chromebook launch, so that you kind of live within the Chrome browser and it becomes your application launcher. So it kind of acts as a launcher for me too. I can put Gmail there, Reader, the other tools that I use like Picnic, Remember the Milk. And so they're big buttons right there on my screen. So whenever I open Chrome, all I do is one click and I'm right into email or my RSS reader or whatever. The second setup tip that really helps my productivity is to have all my bookmarks available to me, ones that maybe don't deserve kind of a whole application, or maybe they're a page or a series of pages, you know, on a website that don't have an application button that I can put on the apps screen, but just general bookmarks, so my banking sites and my social networks and different areas on Wells.net and different pages on our Peace Hartford website. Those all sit on that bookmarks bar, and they're always visible there. So I have one click to get into the section that I want, let's say social networks, and then I click on the one that I want to visit, whether it be Facebook or Twitter or whatever it is. So that's always one click away. And the third setup step is kind of attached or associated with that bookmarks bar, and that's something called Xmarks, which is an extension that you can install in Chrome and in other browsers as well. We've talked about Xmarks on the show before. It's a bookmark synchronizer. So if you use multiple browsers like I do, even on multiple computers, if you've got Xmarks installed, it'll keep them all in sync. So they're always consistent. So if I go to another browser, if I go to another computer in another browser with Xmarks installed, it synchronizes all those. And when I make a change in one, it synchronizes to the other. So I always have all the same bookmarks. So that really improves productivity. I'm not fighting to maintain different sets of bookmarks depending on what computer I'm on or what browser I'm in. It does a great job at that. The fourth setup tip that I outline here in the blog post is a product that is associated with Xmarks. In fact, a company that bought Xmarks, and that's LastPass, which is a password manager and also an extension on Chrome that allows you to manage your passwords and not just manage them, but also autofill when you come to a website that it recognizes and that you've stored a username and password for. You can configure it so it automatically enters that information and then even hits the submit button, so you really don't even have to do that if that's your choice. It'll also construct strong passwords for you automatically. All you have to remember is your master password that will get at all those other passwords that you should be setting differently for each site that you visit. And then finally, the last setup tool or the last setup tip that I use, and we've talked about this on the show before as well, and that's DGo. There's a DGo extension, which allows you to, what I call, annotate the web. So you can go to a website, you can add a book, not just add a bookmark, like in a social bookmarking way where I can share it, but also I can take notes on a particular page. I can highlight different selections on that page, and whenever I visit it again, it's going to come back and show me all those notes and those highlights that I made, in addition to sharing with all my WellsTech friends in our WellsTech DGo group. So that's kind of how I live in Chrome. Those are the five basic things that I really find handy and make me more productive when I'm in that Chrome browser. And some of these also work on other browsers. But for me, that seems to work pretty well. So maybe if you're using Chrome, you may want to consider those as well.
Well, I'm taking notes over here, Martin. Thanks for teaching me a few things. You know, you mentioned that we talked about Xmarks before, and I think I remember us talking about Xmarks before, but, you know, sometimes when we talk about things, they just don't hit you right at that moment or whatever. But as you're describing your bookmarks bar just now, I'm thinking, yeah, I love my bookmarks bar, but it's such a bummer that it's not in sync with, you know, my different computers that I log into. And then lo and behold, you talk about Xmarks, and it's just what I need now. I get it. So I'm guessing a lot of our listeners are that way, that maybe we talk about things and they kind of file them away. But but when you have the need, it's nice to hear about it. So
and some of those things, some of that maintenance, you know, it doesn't take long, but when you add it all up, it does add a significant amount of time to just housekeeping, where if you just spend some time and energy up front, then you really never have to worry about it again. So it's a great tool. It's a good tool.
So one pressing question for you. Mm-hmm. When you launch that apps window, do you have the Angry Birds app?
Let me check. I do not.
Oh, bummer. Not an Angry Birds guy. Huh?
Well, I do have that on my iPad, though.
Okay.
So that's
my kids are pretty hooked on that one. I get pretty angry at the pigs. I'm not much of an Angry Birds person, but
I enjoy it. But I only do it on the iPad. So
have you
I think
seen
it's on
all
my
the merchandising
too.
Around it? Apparently, it's going to be just
it's
huge
everywhere.
This Christmas. Yeah. So
I bet. I bet.
Really, you know, going all out.
The plush
with it,
toys and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So. We'll see some Angry Birds at Halloween, too, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Good idea. Funny.
All righty. Shall we move on?
Sure. We are to the point in our show where we should talk about that 200th episode celebration. Mm-hmm. Coming up in just one short week on September 7th, we will be broadcasting the 200th WellsTech episode. And we'd like to include your voice in that broadcast. As we open up the show to all our listeners, we invite you to call in on our voicemail line and leave us a message. Tell us what your favorite podcast episode was, or just give us some anniversary greetings. And that phone number is 405 for Wells. That's 405-367-9357. And we've got some exciting giveaway for our listeners that do call in, Martin. Maybe you want to tell them about that.
Yes, we decided to go all out this time because you only turn 200 once. And we are giving away a Flip Mino HD camera. Flip cameras were all the rage, you know, a while back. And now that phones have that functionality, I don't know that they're quite as popular. But you'll really want this one because it is emblazoned with the Wells Tech logo. It looks really cool. You can customize them, and that's what we did. We uploaded our Wells Tech logo and our Wells Tech blue-themed background. And it really, really looks nice. So this is something that one of our lucky voicemailers will receive. So there still is time, so we want you to call in before the end of Labor Day. So just to make it easy to remember, midnight on Labor Day, we'll stop accepting voicemails, and then on the show on Wednesday, the following Wednesday, we will do a random drawing and make a selection, and just make sure you leave your name and how we can maybe get in touch with you. We pretty much know most of our listeners, make sure you tune in next Wednesday to hear if you are the lucky winner.
Yep. We even got some coverage in the Together newsletter. I was really excited to see an article about Wells Tech turning 200 there. So I got to throw a link to that out in the show notes as well. If you haven't read about it, that's the place to go. So.
Yep. All right. Also of interest, just want to remind everybody that we are still here in the Senate Administration Building looking for a technical support specialist. We had one of our employees take another position, so we have a position to fill, and that's that help desk position, assisting people and users with their computer equipment, with their software, helping connect users, Wells.net users, figure out where stuff is. There's all kinds of things that this person really is integral to be a part of, so it's important that we fill this position as soon as possible. So if you are interested, or if you know of somebody who is interested, make sure you take a look at our show notes. We will have a link there to the job description and how to apply.
Very good. Now it's time for my favorite part of the show, the community feedback.
Oh, yeah.
And we have quite a bit to share today. Starting with our Wells Tech listserv, there was a conversation there about e-cycling, or recycling old electronic equipment. And Mike Plucker, who teaches and coordinates technology at St. Paul's in New Ulm, shared a link to the Apple and Education Recycling Program, which I hadn't been familiar with, but basically they allow you to recycle old equipment, and it could be computers, monitors, laptops, printers, fax machines, TVs, VCRs, projectors, etc. I mean, the list is pretty long, and basically all you have to do is shrink wrap the equipment and they take it for free. So that's a really exciting program. It runs through the end of September, but the important thing is if you want to participate, you have to be registered by this Friday, September 2nd. So check out the link in the show notes very quickly because the registration process ends this Friday. And we thank Mike for sharing that link. Josh Shanick from Kettle Moraine Lutheran replied and also linked to another vendor, Vintage Tech Recyclers, which is out of the Chicago area. And they actually pay you for recyclable materials. He says at Kettle they had a collection and had 54,000 pounds of recyclable materials. And they'll pay 2 to 10 cents per pound for the electronics. So that may be something you want to look into as well, especially if you're in that kind of Illinois, Michigan, Wisconsin area. Next up, we heard from Mark Buskey, who is at Northwestern Publishing House, and he had an exciting announcement for us, and that is that several of the People's Bible titles are now available for Kindle.
That's awesome.
And yeah, you can get them at Amazon.com. We'll have a link in our show notes to the page that lists all the currently available titles, and just really exciting to see them moving into the ebook world.
Yeah, what a great Bible study resource those People's Bibles are, and then to be able to now have them all on one device as opposed to carrying them around, that would be a great thing to take to Bible class as you're going through a book of the Bible. That's awesome.
Yeah, really excited to hear that. Another announcement coming out of NPH is that the Wisconsin Lutheran Quarterly magazine mm-hmm. is going to be available as a PDF subscription beginning in January of next year. And we'll have a link in the show notes to that as well. You can get all different flavors of that. You can get a 1 or 2 year subscription. You can still subscribe to the print magazine along with the PDF if you want them both. And so they have a full page of options available for the Wisconsin Lutheran Quarterly. And in addition to that announcement, there's also a pre-order available to get the Wisconsin Lutheran Quarterly for Logos. And the idea would be that you'd get all the quarterlies dating back to 1990 available for your Logos Bible software library. And I believe the pricing is just amazing on this. They typically are going to price it at $462. That's the retail price. But for this pre-order, you can get all that history for $37.95. That's a 92% savings over the list price.
That's a no-brainer.
The thing about it is you have to pre-order and they have to gather enough interest before they will actually make it a Logos product.
Yep.
And so right now they're probably at about 40% of what they need in order to actually publish this product. So commit to buying the $37.95 at the $37.95 price point. And if enough people do that, then they'll actually make this Logos version.
Do they say how many they need?
They don't. They just kind of show a slider bar that says gathering interest. So actually, Pastor Aaron Fry tweeted the link to us and said, you know, make sure you promote this on the Wells Tech podcast because I think it's a very worthy product.
Oh, absolutely.
If you're a pastor out there, having that kind of content available in your Logos library would be very valuable.
So tell a friend.
There you go. Recently, we did a podcast where I talked about Print My Cal, which is a little utility for downloading your Google Calendar in an RTF format for easy printing and also doing editing. And several people commented on my blog post. Tom Rosenau from Pigeon, Michigan said, "This fixes so many of my problems with printing from Google Calendar. Thanks for sharing."
Awesome.
And Rachel Arnold also was one of our beta testers. She had contacted me, and we actually sent her an early version of the software, and they've been using it every month since then as they put together their monthly church calendar, and it's been a huge time saver for them. She said, "My husband, the pastor, used to dread putting the calendar together, but no more." So that's great feedback.
Yeah.
On the other hand, we also heard from Dan Smith, who had some challenges with his Google Calendar download, and so we're working with him to resolve the issues. It's really challenging to program for all the possibilities of calendar events. And apparently sometimes Google Calendar can be kind of quirky with the way it handles things. So we're still troubleshooting and working through issues. And if you're using the program and are having some challenges, be sure to get in touch with us and let us put in fixes for all the different possibilities.
Very good. And by the way, it is free.
That's right. So printmycal.wordpress.com. Next up, I heard from David Schumann, who's a member at Peace in Janesville, Wisconsin. And in one of our recent podcasts, Martin, I mentioned that this school year we intend to do some work in the technology area to draw attention to our stained glass windows in our church, which are just fabulous at St. John's. And one of the things I'd like to do is have the kids work on some line art imagery and maybe color it in computer lab, things like that. And he mentioned that you can use Inkscape, which is a free downloadable graphic editor, to turn photograph images into line art, basically. And so if you're looking for a solution to do that kind of thing in your church or school, you might want to check out the link to Inkscape that we have in our show notes. We heard from Chris Cragen, who was looking for a web streaming solution. Her congregation's ready to consider broadcasting live via the web, and I wrote back to tell her that we use the free version of Ustream.tv. Unfortunately, it's ad-supported, and so we can't really control the number or subject of the advertising that's mm-hmm. on our church live video stream. So there's definitely some drawbacks to going the free route, but yep. then again, the price tag is is affordable. Right. Martin, you had some other ideas for Chris.
Yeah, there's obviously the free versions of almost all the streaming products, Ustream, Livestream, et cetera, et cetera. But if people are really serious about getting the ads off of there and, you know, look at this as a growing ministry, then you may want to consider, you know, paying for the different solutions that offer the ad-free environment. And they usually offer other premium-type services, increased viewer minutes, the ability to brand your own players, those kinds of things. Online storage of videos, and the one that we're using here in the Synod is Livestream, and we've worked out a relationship with Livestream. They were really only one of the few that would talk with us about a not-for-profit discount. So we have been able to negotiate that with Livestream, and it basically works out to about $70 a month for 1,500 viewer hours through Livestream. And that's anybody that's watched the call service streaming that we've done or graduations, those kinds of things, recognize the quality that Livestream affords or produces, and that's kind of what you get for that $70. So if that's something that fits in the budget and that's an area that you're interested in pursuing, you know, certainly give me a shout and we can get you hooked up.
Very good. Rounding out our community feedback is a short list of links that were shared in our DIGO group. For those of you that aren't familiar, we use DIGO.com and have a Wells Tech group. So if you're a member of the group, you can tag things that you come across that might be useful to other Wells Tech listeners, and we can share it here on the podcast. And we had a few of those this week. First up, 101 great free sites and downloads you probably never heard of. This is from PC World Magazine, and everything on the list is free. So undiscovered freebies, they call it. So if you want to check that out. Next up, we had someone share, I think it might have been Ryan Rosenthal, shared a link to literature, learning guides, and teacher resources. This is from a website called Shmoop, S-H-M-O-O-P.
Nicely played, yes.
But basically, if you are an English teacher, a literature teacher, you're going to find links to all different literary works organized here and lots of resources around each of those works. So check this out. And then finally, there was a link that you shared, Martin, a first impression survey of newcomers to church.
Yeah, this isn't anything new or shattering, but it's just a kind of an extension of the follow-up that a lot of our congregations do with visitors, and that's essentially asking them to fill out a very brief survey. And some of the questions that are asked on the survey, and they're talking about doing this online with an online form, which could easily be done with all kinds of different solutions. But some of the questions they asked on the survey, I think there's just six of them, you know, name and email address, of course. What did you notice first, you know, when you visited our church? What did you like best? What was your overall impression? And how can we pray with you? Those are intriguing questions that I think recognize that, hey, there's those impressions from those visitors are very valuable to us, not just in servicing those visitors and maybe just trying to meet their needs, but also helping you, you know, make changes or think about how you welcome visitors and what their impressions might be. So, good blog post.
Yep, food for thought, huh? Mm-hmm. And now we're ready to talk about next week's show. Anything exciting going on next week's show, Martin?
Show 200. If, Lord willing, you and I will celebrate 200 episodes, and so will our listeners. And don't forget about the giveaway. We will be doing some other things to celebrate as well, including, and this makes us really sound geeky, that our celebratory activities are updating the website and changing the music, you know, that we lead off the show with and end the show with. But we'll be doing all of those things. So it'll be a whole new look on our website. We've been working hard at trying to figure out what that new look should look like, and updating the music, which I've got to do this week yet. I haven't really thought too hard about that. But now we're at crunch time, and 200 is coming up. So make sure you tune in next week to listen to see if you've won that Flip Mino camera and all the other good stuff that we have in store. Looking forward to it, Sally.
Most definitely.
Let's close the show with the music of Corbin Creek, their song Serve Him from the album Could It Be Me. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. See you in episode 200.
Sisters and brothers, in faith we are united, we stand the same. And each of us created, fashioned with His care, God gives us different talents, serving Him. When a friend is in trouble, we point him to a Father whose arms are open wide. Serve Him in joyfulness, serve Him in faithfulness, serve Him in thankfulness. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Encourage one another. Use our words to speak of the love He gave us, how He died for me. We will work together to do the Father's will and daily share the message, the greatest gift of all. When a friend is in trouble, we point them to a Father. Christ, for Jesus Christ, our Lord, serve Him. In-